Leaders are all around us at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate, they risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Buddy Edwards, Executive Director of Caritas, talks with Liz Taylor. This conversation was taped April 4th, 2012, in the KWBU studios.
Welcome to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Liz Taylor, and I'm very privileged today to be talking with Buddy Edwards, Executive Director of Caritas. Briefly, talk about your background, including, you know, where you're from, your family, and all of that kind of good stuff.
I wasn't born in Waco. I was born in Gainesville, Texas, but my family, my parents had lived in Waco, had moved to Gainesville. Briefly, my dad opened a Western Auto store in Gainesville for a few months right before I was born, and so that's why I wound up being born in Gainesville. But shortly thereafter, I think they decided to come to Waco, back to Waco, because that's where all of his family was, and that's where I grew up. So I went to all the schools here in Waco, went to public school, graduated from Richfield High School, go Rams, went to Baylor University. Graduated from that in 1972. So I guess that dates me a little bit, right?
It's all right. Those are just numbers.
Those are just numbers.
That's right.
We'll keep telling ourselves
that's
that.
That's right.
However, while I was at Baylor, I majored in sociology, and they didn't have a specific program in social work at the time. They had a social work sequence, which was just a few classes, but that's what really whetted my appetite for social work. And so after graduating from Baylor, I went to the University of Texas at Arlington for graduate work and received a master's in social work from there. And I've really always been in Waco. And even when I was going to UTA, I was commuting and would go there for the classes and then come back home on the weekend. So Waco's been in my blood these years. Yeah, it is good. Waco's really been a great, great place to have grown up. Yeah. I think back on the years in school. Public school here, and feel very positive about that experience, what I learned, and the wonderful education that I received both in Waco schools and also in Baylor and also in UTA.
Tell us who's had the greatest influence on you as a leader.
Well, I spent 29 years at Hillcrest Hospital. And the professional leadership there had a profound impact upon me. Two names that come to forefront would be Alton Pearson, who was the president there for many years and who really kind of brought me on. I was very much a neophyte at the time back in 1978, and he had created a department of planning and research back then. And I had worked with him, or he'd seen me for a little while prior to that time, working at an organization called Action Planning Council. And he was the board president for that. And so Action Planning Council was an organization that was dissolved about 1977-78. So I had an opportunity to go to work at Hillcrest, and it was a whole other world there. But what I was particularly impressed with was the great administrative leadership personnel that they had in place back in 1978 and thereafter. And Mr. Pearson was just the warmest, nicest person, and had such a great caring and compassion for the patients, and was very, very concerned about the ability of the hospital to be able to provide the highest quality in care. And he set very, very high standards for all of us at that particular point in time. And so he was, I think, a major role model, as was Richard Scott, who was the vice president and who I reported directly to at that point in time. And what was great about Richard was that, again, he had extremely high standards, and he required all of the department heads who reported to him to abide by those standards. And my role, particularly in those days, was to prepare documents to get approval from the state for acquisition of new medical equipment or new programs. And it was a pretty lengthy process, but it required a great deal of due diligence in pulling together data and preparing documents that had to be completed and submitted to the state for this review process. And Richard always would have the highest standards in terms of being certain that we were doing the documents in the appropriate manner. And I do remember one time that he reviewed a document and told me it was needed no refinements or revisions. And that was like the pinnacle of my time at Hillcrest. No, but the standards that he provided for us and really all the leadership were key. And we really carried those thoughts and those types of standards through what I'm even doing now.
Okay. Well, let's talk about then what qualities of leadership that you picked up from that you try to embody in the work that you do. And we're going to talk about what you do right now with Caritas. We'll get to that. But talk about those leadership qualities and that you learned from and what you do with that right now.
Well, I think for me, really putting at that time the patient, now the client at Caritas, foremost in our minds and becoming perhaps a servant leader for the benefit of those that we do exist for, and remembering the importance of those individuals in all that we do, and letting that sort of be the driving force behind how you structure an organization, how you develop the qualities that are foremost in the operational aspects of the organization, keeping in mind at all times, you know, how is it going to affect the client? How is what you do going to produce some positive outcomes for the people that you're serving? And that's, I think, a very, very critical aspect of what we are doing at Caritas, because we are now, and also as many years we served at Hillcrest, is that the patient, the client is always number one. Mm-hmm. And everything we do needs to be geared toward being certain that the services that people received meet their needs and address the concerns that they have. And so I think that's always been, for me, sort of top of the line, the main thing that keeps us focused and keeps us going forward on things. And all the other activities that you're involved with needs to be set up and established to be sure that that main goal is accomplished. So that's really a critical factor, I think, in terms of leadership. But that is also how we try to execute our thoughts with regards to working with other staff members. We want to keep them high in mind as well, their needs. And even in today at Caritas, I mean, I think no one in the community probably would have ever doubted that Caritas is probably not the highest paid organization in the community. We try to be very austere. We try to maintain operations at the basic level, because we want to try to infuse our operations toward the needs of people. But the people that work at Caritas also are extremely interested in the purpose and mission of what we do. And so they come there because they're servants as well. We have to be mindful of their needs and try to be responsive to them as people, and to express our appreciation for what they do. I guess I'm very people-oriented and very concerned about others, and whether they be clients or patients or the people that we work with. And I think that's a real driving force for me and I think others that work there within our organization as well.
Well, I think that's very evident in just having interactions with you and with Caritas. I think that I guess I get the impression that Caritas, and I think many organizations do that, do the same thing, and will embody the spirit or the philosophy that the leadership wants to how we want to run things, and I think that's very evident, and I think that's and certainly commendable. I think Caritas does some amazing things in this community.
Well, we kind of carry on a tradition, and speaking of leaders, the previous leaders at Caritas really set a very high standard, and I always felt like inadequate to be able to do that. But for those who have been familiar with Caritas for many years, Dr. Gene Judd was the leader, the CEO there, from late 70s to 2000. He set the character for the organization. He set the culture there that we try to continue. And, of course, Dr. Kenneth Murby, mm-hmm. following him, was very, very significant in terms of maintaining the kind of character that the organization purports to be within our community. And so is my requirement, I think, my leadership role to be sure that that's continued. And so made every effort to try to do that. And no one can be a Kenneth Murby or a Gene Judge, but you know, we try our best.
That's right. For those who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Liz Taylor, and I'm talking today with Buddy Edwards, Executive Director at Caritas. There are so many things that Caritas does, and I think mm-hmm. we could probably talk about that and your influence on that for a long time. But I want to switch gears just a little bit, because, Buddy, you are also quite well known in this community for your music background.
Wow. Well, that's a whole other world right there, isn't it?
It is a very, very different world. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about music and about getting involved in it.
Well, I guess like a lot of people, a lot of guys, maybe of my generation, very highly influenced by the music of the 60s. And I can remember this. It was December the 31st, 1965. My grandmother gave me an old acoustical guitar. And she had played, she had dabbled with it, but she had gotten arthritis and was not able to continue. So my dad got it from her. And I think that changed my life in terms of just being excited about music and wanting to be involved in music. Prior to that, I'd had piano lessons, but it never really had kicked in. But there was something very tangible that you could hold and you could sound like the groups of the 60s and all. And so I really became, I guess, obsessed with it, and I would spend hours each day playing the guitar and make friends who knew more about music, make them show me parts, guitar cards, the different songs. Oh. And I was a big groupie, if you will, of the original Morticians band who was playing at Richfield in the 60s and loved the music, loved what the sounds was. Didn't really know all the guys in the band at the time, but I would follow them around, hear them play, and it was really quite an amazing feeling to hear what they were able to accomplish. And later on became really close friends with Joe Hall, who was in that original group, and went to actually Joe was in graduate school at the school of sociology department at Baylor when I was there, and I really became good friends with him, and we would dabble a little bit playing. He became a teacher for me in music. But in the early 80s, he had an idea to try to reform this band, or at least play the music, and he invited me to participate with him as a rhythm guitarist, and I thought I'd reached nirvana on that as well.
Oh,
so
wow.
No one, I think, ever envisioned that we, 30 years later, would be still playing this music, and so it's been a life changer for me, too.
Okay, so you just talked about something on the Morticians that I don't know the history on that, on the name and where the band came from. Real quick, give us
Real quickly, it was started in 1965 by five guys at Richfield High School. They picked the name Morticians because the name, I've heard different reports, but the group Undertakers, which was the name that they really wanted, was currently was a group existing in Britain.
Okay.
So they chose the Morticians, and they became famous because of their ability to mimic the original sounds of the music of the original performers.
Wow.
They became quite famous locally anyway.
Yeah. Still are.
Still playing.
Still going.
And I guess in terms of how that's affected me as a leader is I was very introverted. That threw me in the forefront of being on stage all the time and kind of got desensitized to being in front of people. And now it's not a big deal at all to be able to come and do this kind of an interview
or go into a meeting.
And I think that's really, really helped me come out of that. And so it's definitely played a role.
That's
in terms
great.
Of my leadership, but in a different kind of way.
Well, but besides the fact that it's just really great music.
It is great music. And, we still enjoy it, and we've been able to continue it for a number of years, and it's been a lot of fun.
That is excellent. That's excellent. Well, you've kind of talked about different things like the character traits of a leader and all of that, which is great. And we, you know, in this series, we're wanting people to listen and think about leaders who have influenced their lives and maybe be an influence influence an influential leader to another group of people or maybe young people in future. But what do you think are the greatest leadership needs in Waco or in Central Texas? I mean, you get to see a piece of our community that maybe not everyone takes the opportunity to check out. So give us an idea about what do you think we're lacking in leadership?
Well, I guess I've having been in Waco so many years, I've been having the opportunity to see the leaders of Waco for multiple generations now, virtually. And Waco has been blessed with strong leadership in so many ways. And some of those leaders are beginning to retire now. And what I'm seeing as a need, I see it just in the community and also I think within our organization as well, is maybe the next generation of leaders, young people who perhaps have an interest in our community, who want to have a say-so or have a role to play. We want to see and need to see more of the emergence of young people with maybe different viewpoints, different ways of seeing things, who can become more of an influence and more of a force within our community. Again, the leaders of my generation and the generation before me have played such a powerful role. And as they begin to retire from the scene, I think these folks need to be coming up more to the forefront. And we see it even in our organization. Historically, Caritas having been formed in the late 60s, there were strong leadership roles to be played in that. Many of those people have retired. And so the support base even of an organization like Caritas has tended to dwindle as those leaders have retired. And so we need to see, even within our organization, younger people who want to have a role to play, who have compassion and caring for the people who are less fortunate, perhaps, than we are, who have been marginalized because of the forces that exist within society, to express this compassion and caring and concern and to be able to step forward and to do that. And, you know, we feel like Caritas is a great way to do that, but there are other significant organizations, nonprofit organizations in the community where that's an opportunity.
I think recognizing that as a society, we are only as strong as the weakest element in our society. That
Absolutely.
Is, you know, that's very, very true and appealing. Do you see the young people, and I guess I'm more looking at the college age, maybe even younger than college age, high school. I kind of see a surge of activity from those generations getting involved in social activities in the community so that they can step into those roles. And I kind of think social media has had a good bit to play with that.
Absolutely, that's the case. Yeah. And just in the last few days, I've had an opportunity as a member of the Waco Rotary Club to be involved in a youth citizenship scholarship program. We got the opportunity to visit with young people, and we see so many of these young people who have expressed through their volunteer activities this kind of emerging commitment that they want and care about other people. They want to be doing things that are significant. And it's very encouraging to see these people, and you can see the excitement and the vibrance coming out in their lives and how they're expressing it. So, yes, and we see it so much at Baylor and MCC and some of these other schools where you have not only in the school of social work, but just in the general student population, this caring and compassion, which I think is so essential for this next generation of leaders to display. And so, yeah, I'm very encouraged about that. And I think that's a very positive thing. We just want to see it become more and more evident within our community.
It's very exciting to see what you mentioned, Baylor School of Social Work, and what they're doing, Dean Garland, and everything that's happening over there. Just Baylor's reach out into the community and recognizing and kind of, you know, being a leader for the for the whole community to say, you know, this is, we're not just going to stay within our confines that we've been accustomed
exactly.
to, but we're going to reach out because there's not just a need, but mm-hmm. Not just a need in this community, but there's a need for people to understand
exactly.
overall what needs to happen.
And, that's right.
And then to have organizations like Caritas and mm-hmm. caring individuals like yourself at the helm of those organizations to step up and say, it all ties together.
It does.
Ties together, and it all makes us, as a society, it makes us stronger because it ties together.
You're absolutely correct. I have the privilege of being an adjunct faculty member at the School of Social Work, mm-hmm. and I have the opportunity of working with students there, working with graduate students, and again, so much commitment to the responding to the needs of our world, and it's very evident there. And of course, the school has done an outstanding job of relocating to outside the immediate campus. Mm-hmm. Now they're downtown, and purposefully thrust themselves into the community and trying to become more involved and have a significant presence here to look at these needs and try to work ways to address them.
Yeah. It's really exciting. So many wonderful things going on in our community.
It
right
is.
Now.
Waco is such a neat place.
It
and,
is.
You know, I think we're all blessed. And those of us who have stayed in Waco all of our lives, we look back and we say, well, this how it was in 1968 and how it is today. It continues to be just a wonderful place. And people who have come back to Waco from after being gone here are just amazed, I think, at what is happening here within our community and feel so very, very positively toward it. So we're just in a wonderful location, and sometimes I don't think we fully recognize that, but it's very, very true.
I think that is – and I think that's very true that we don't always recognize mm-hmm. it. We tend to want to look at the next community over or
yeah.
the other – you know, the one down the road or the mm-hmm. state or another state or whatever and say, oh, if only we had, you know, those wonderful things. But
we've got them.
But we have
we
all
have
of
them
it. We
right
have
here.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think Waco is a very complete community.
It is.
In that sense. Mm-hmm. We take care of our own.
Mm-hmm.
We like to educate and grow our own, and we take mm-hmm. pride in that. And,
absolutely.
And I've only lived here for 20 years, so almost 20 years. So mm-hmm. I feel, you know, very attached in that sense because the community mm-hmm. attached to me. So
exactly.
It's very complete for me as well. What advice would you give to, and I'm sure you do, you have opportunities. What advice would you give to new leaders or young leaders today?
Well, you know, we get the opportunity to talk about this in the School of Social Work mm-hmm. when we do our admin class. But I think, first off, leadership really is a 24/7 proposition. When I go in the community, people will come up to me and say, oh, well, I know that you're working with Caritas, or when I was at Hillcrest, they would recognize I was associated with them. Especially in Waco, we're a small community, and you represent your organization all the time. And so you always have to, I think, put that best foot forward. You have to be aware of your presence in the community and that you're always going to be that face for that organization. So leadership doesn't go away when you walk out the door, whenever that may be. I think it's very, very important to always be open to new ideas and new thoughts. We tend, I think, so often to get linked in and locked in to the past that the past just doesn't work anymore. And we have to continually look at ways to make things better, to make changes and to be willing to accept changes so that we can improve and just do things better than it has been done in the past. And I think it's been clear in our conversation today that for any leader, especially in Waco, you've got to participate in the community. You've
yes.
got to have a role within the community. It's all about relationships.
It is.
It's all about relationships. And people got to know you mm-hmm. and got to trust you as a leader. This is particularly true, I think, with Caritas. We rely so much upon contributions to our organization. Mm-hmm. When people contribute to our organization, many times they're contributing to it because of who's there.
Right.
I've had people tell me that, and I say, oh, well, thank you very much. But, you know, really and truly, that's true, because you have to trust who's there and how they're going to handle the funds that they give. So That relationship is a key
It is. Thing. If you're just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series, and we've been talking for a while. I'm Liz Taylor. We've been talking for a while with Buddy Edwards, Executive Director of Caritas, and it's just it's what you were just talking about mm-hmm. is so very true, and I'm in a different field. I'm in the sales and marketing field, and here in Waco, but the same type of thing is very true. It's about relationships. Mm-hmm. It's about how you work with people, and it's about working with people.
Exactly.
And you know, we embodied that, but we try to live by that. What other thoughts do you have about leadership and what leaders need to know and need to do in today's world?
Gosh, I think we've covered so many great topics today. I thank you so much for the opportunity to do this. And I think it all boils down to, for me at least, showing that you care. Care about what you do, care about the mission, caring about people. Mm-hmm. Caring about not only the people you serve, but also the people that you work with, and expressing that to them continuously. It's so important, I think, for people to know that you care and that you're interested in them, and that you have it in your heart ways to try to make it better. I guess that's maybe who I am, mm-hmm. But I think that's what's connected me well with Caritas and why, if at all, I fit in well down there, because that's a good connection, good mix for me. And I think for any leader to be able to display that you care and that you're concerned about others goes a long way.
I think that's very true. But I also want to say that I think you as a leader, you have to have an outlet that allows mm-hmm. you to let go of some of the things that could be burdensome.
Sure.
And
exactly.
You obviously have that outlet
well,
with music.
Well, I'm fortunate. Yeah. You know, that's been so neat to have that in my, I guess, bag of tricks, if you
sure.
will, because it's not only just playing music, but because of the nature of our group, it's such a camaraderie, it's such a family, and we can express to one another this friendship and this interest that it's kind of beyond description. It's just a uniqueness that's not been duplicated anywhere else in my life.
That's so great.
It's been really, really positive.
That is wonderful. That's wonderful. And I don't know if we're close to wrapping up, but I guess we are. Anyway, I just want to tell you thank you for coming and helping out with KWBU. This Central Texas Leadership Series has been a really fun thing to work with, and finding leaders like yourself in the community and having a chat is a great experience.
Yes,
and I appreciate you.
I just want to appreciate too KWBU. For bringing not this particular one necessarily, but all the leadership interviews that have taken place. I think we've all benefited by it from the community, and just it's a wonderful radio station and brings so much to our community.
It really does. Thank you very much,
Thank
Buddy.
You. Appreciate it,
right.
Liz.